Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Well, according to a recent study, 50% of women would rather admit how much they weigh than discuss how much they make. I'm not one of those 50%. But coming up around 12:30 today, we'll hear from Nicole Lapin, and she's one of my favorite money experts and financial journalists. She tells it just like it is and provides a simple 12-step plan for getting your financial life together in her book, Rich Bitch. But first, I'm so pleased to welcome Diane Altamore. She is an integrative life coach who speaks at many events around the country, and she's a frequent media contributor. She's known for getting to the heart of the truth, and her new book is called Clarity, 10 Proven Strategies to Transform Your Life. Diane Altamore, welcome.
Thank you so much, Vicki. It's great to be on your show today.
And it's good to have you here. We were just chatting before the show because you spend your time between Seattle and Southern California, having lived in both places. I think you've got the perfect solution there.
Yes, I do. Rain and sun.
There you go.
The perfect combination.
So in the foreword to your book, and I'm going to paraphrase this, Marcy Shimoff says, something is still missing. We're working harder than ever. We have an abundance of access to ancient wisdom and the inspiration of teachers and sages. Yet most people can't say they're truly happy and are often left wondering, is this all there is? And this is where your work as an integrative life coach and author steps in, right?
Absolutely. Yes. So often we are looking to the outside. We're looking outside of ourselves for happiness or success or a way to feel good about who we are. And the truth is that it doesn't matter how much so-called success we achieve. If we don't feel good about who we are, that will be with us regardless of what level of success we get to. And so the way to really be fulfilled and feel good and feel happy is to start from the inside out.
And that's what I love about your book. I did read this cover to cover. And you know what struck me when I was reading it is that, you know, I've been doing this work a long time myself, is that no matter how much work we do on ourselves, there's always more to do, whether that's, you know, that's new work or whether it's getting a deeper understanding, a deeper level into what we've already been working on and practicing it day to day. So I know that you're a big fan of Debbie Ford's shadow work. What was it about her work that spoke to you?
I saw her on Oprah about 16 years ago, and that's actually how I got to be an integrative coach. I studied with her, and I was trained through her Ford Institute of Integrative Coaching. And really what happened in that moment, I will never forget that day. She was talking about these parts of ourselves, and you just mentioned the shadow, that we don't like, we don't want to be. And for the first time in my life, somebody really expressed what I was feeling inside. And I just got so connected to these different parts of myself, and really through doing shadow work, made peace with all of the different parts, whatever they are. And so it was really that moment that led me on this path to be able to coach people for the past 16 years on how to move through whatever's going on within them and create what they truly want, not only in their external world, but inside as well.
Right. And you share a lot of stories in this book of people that you've helped, but you also share your journey. And you talk in the beginning of the book about how on the outside we looked like a normal middle-class family, But you, as an adult, went to extreme lengths to cover up the pain and shame that you felt as a child. So talk to us a little about that, if you would.
Yes, my journey really started many years ago, growing up in an alcoholic home, because I experienced a lot of uncertainty and very heightened emotions. And so I was always really curious about why it seemed, and of course, at that age, I couldn't really intellectualize this as I can right now, but I was very coherent that there were two different worlds. There was the world that was within me where I felt pretty good. I felt good about myself. I felt connected to myself. I felt happy and confident. And then there was this world outside of me where there was a lot of dysfunction and there was uncertainty and things that weren't being talked about. And so that environment had me really question what it was that I was feeling inside. And ultimately, years later, I became disconnected from myself and went through a period of time where I dealt with a lot of difficulties in life because I was so disconnected from myself and who I was and was really seeking outside of me for approval and validation and the feeling that I was good enough, because ultimately that is what I felt and interpreted growing up in an alcoholic home, was that there was something wrong with me and I wasn't good enough.
Right, right. And you talk about disconnection. You just mentioned feeling disconnected. And, you know, I've read a lot of studies, and I think you mentioned this in the book too, that yes, you did, that a lot of studies blame social media for people's unhappiness, in that, you know, somebody can paint this perfect picture. In fact, I know somebody who does this regularly. You know, they paint this Kardashian selfie kind of life where they're constantly posting selfies of this fabulous life and yet really deeply unhappy, desperately unhappy, actually, inside. So what can we do about that? How do we approach that?
Well, we really have to recognize that whenever somebody is posting a photo, most of the time, that's only a portion of what they might be experiencing. So the moment they post that Mother of the Year photo where they're juggling 50 things at once and still baking homemade cookies, and we in that moment don't feel like we're fulfilling the greatest motherhood moment, we can compare ourselves to that, and it can be really painful. And so what we want to do is simply recognize that in the moment you're comparing your life to somebody else's, you are disconnected from who you are. You're disconnected from your greatness, your talent, your abilities, and what you want for your life. And like you mentioned, you know, they might not be as happy as they appear to be. And so it's really unfair for you to compare your difficult moment or your off day to what they just posted. Mm-hmm. And once you really recognize what's happening, you don't have to make yourself feel bad. Just get about the business of reengaging in your own life. And you can do this by asking yourself, what's one action I could take right now that is aligned with what I want to create? Something I'm really excited about. And then go take that action and just make that a practice. Whenever you feel that envy or that jealousy, reconnect to what it is you want to create in your life and then go take action and make that happen.
Right. So focus on what we do want instead of all that external stuff. And that's, again, what I said at the beginning I love about the book is we're really focusing from the inside out, which I think is so important. So the first step, it's 12 steps, and the first step is reconnecting to yourself. And so when we've asked this question of ourselves, how should we be proceeding from there?
So the first step is reconnecting to ourselves, like you shared, and that is because it is the most important one. When we are connected to who we are, whether that's feeling really good about who we are or whether it's experiencing a negative emotion or remembering something that's unresolved that doesn't feel good, in that moment, we are empowered to be able to then feel whatever is present and gain clarity on what we need to do next. And so I share different ways to reconnect to yourself. And it doesn't always have to be something really deep or really intense. And that's some of the amazing feedback that I've been getting about clarity, is that you can pick up this book and read for 5 or 10 minutes, or go in, like you had mentioned, looking at either my story or somebody else's story, and whatever resonates with you, then integrate that into your life.
Right.
So there's little bite-sized exercises in each step. And in the first step, one of the bite-sized exercises is to just give yourself 5 minutes every day to just disconnect from everything else and everybody else, and just sit with yourself for 5 minutes. Close your eyes or grab a cup of tea and just stare out the window. Just checking in and asking yourself, how am I doing? How am I feeling right now? Because so many of us have really abandoned ourselves, and really just by reconnecting in very small little ways every day, we will start to gain clarity on what we need to do and what's important for our life and how we can really proceed forward.
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. I want to continue on this vein when we come back. I want to talk a little bit more about self-abandonment and how we do that and why we do that. It's quite enlightening the ways that we distract ourselves and do abandon ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah. The book is called Clarity, 10 Proven Strategies to Transform Your Life. And my guest, Diane Altmaier. And you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
First, when there's nothing but a slow, glowing dream, that your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Dr. Nels Rasmussen, we cover the world of animals. This week, March 20th, it's Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me. As an animal behavior therapist and trainer, I'll answer your questions and help you resolve any behavior training or healing issues you've got going on with your animal friends. Plus, we'll talk with the creator of a new free app for doggy astrology. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Do you have an expectation hangover where life doesn't quite match your expectations? Former Hollywood agent Christine Hassler has the cure. And psychotherapist, professor, and former Buddhist monk Donald Altman shares how to manage emotional dramas with his new book, Clearing Emotional Clutter. Tune in every Monday at noon Pacific time right here on Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And catch up with podcasts at conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Join us live every Monday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150 or stream live from conversationslive.net.
Like what you hear? Be sure and support the sponsors who support your favorite programs on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back. back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And my guest is Diane Altima, and her new book is called Clarity. This came out just last week. Clarity, 10 Proven Strategies to Transform Your Life. And we were talking a little about self-abandonment before the break. What I did was I read the book cover to cover, picked out two, three steps that I'd like to cover because we couldn't possibly do the whole 12. And so we've looked a little at how we reconnect with ourselves, which is step one. And I want to follow on with step two, which is understanding what's really going on. And that partly covers self-abandonment. So let's look at step two, Diane, and where we begin to figure out what's really going on.
Yeah, so once we're connected or we're reconnected to how we're feeling or how something affected us, for example, or how it triggered us in a negative way, we can start to identify what is truly going on. And what I mean by that is, what is it that we are transferring from sometime in our past, and sometime it's all the way back in our childhood, to our current circumstances or our current relationship? And transference is simply the experience of transferring something unresolved from an earlier time in your life to your current experience. And it was originally described by Sigmund Freud. And it's very helpful to understand what it is that's happening for us and why we are responding or reacting the way we are. So, for example, in relationships, you know, we often think if he or she would just change or if they'd stop doing that, I would be okay. I'd feel better. And the truth is that whatever is happening in our situation at work with our boss or in our relationship is really showing us something that is unresolved within ourselves, and it gives us information with which to dive in a little more deeply and look at what needs to be healed and then do that work so that we emerge a better, more evolved version of ourselves.
Yeah, and this is something you personally struggled with. You share in the book that negativity weaves through my relationships on your spotlight section.
Yes, absolutely. I had a very difficult time with relationships because I was disconnected from myself. And so I was always looking outside of myself for validation or approval or somebody to make me feel good. And we are all fallible as human beings. So even if you're in a relationship initially that makes you feel good, that relationship most often is going to have bumps in the road, or that person's not going to be able to fill you up or make you feel good forever, because that's just not the reality of what a relationship shows us. And so I really had to start to look inside and right. See what it is that I was bringing to that relationship or what I wasn't bringing to that relationship. And often what I wasn't bringing was myself.
Interesting. You say that transference can limit our possibilities. And of course, this is what, you know, all of these limiting beliefs and you know, when we're transferring emotions that don't belong there anymore, we are limiting our possibilities and we are probably putting our dreams on the back burner. You share a story in the book about Catherine, who has no time for herself. And I thought this, you know, this is a fairly common kind of situation. We hear it all the time when people say, I just don't have time for myself after I've served everybody else's needs, after I've worked, you know, fed the kids, done the laundry, blah, blah, blah. And yet really it's a form of self-abandonment when we don't make time for ourselves, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I often hear people say that, well, that's selfish. That's selfish for me to take time for myself. But it's really important to understand that we can't give to other people in a wholehearted way when we're not filled up. And I know so many people have heard that before, but they just can't grasp that they should be taking that 30 minutes or hour a day or whatever it is on the weekend that would really fill you up and make you feel good. You have a right to feel good. We are not just here to serve everybody else and then end up at the end of the day feeling depleted, exhausted, stressed out, and overwhelmed. That is not how we give the best that we have to give to ourselves, our families, our career, and other people. And so it's essential for us to take time to really fill ourselves up in whatever way that feels good to us.
Right. And oftentimes, and this I pulled from step nine, you know, we keep ourselves busy. Like, for example, the story in the book of Catherine, who gives her time to everybody else and has nothing left, you know, nothing, no time left for herself. That busyness, that busyness distracts our inner voice. And you say, don't let that happen. Don't let your inner voice be railroaded by busyness. And I see this over and over again. And I've been in that situation. You know, I'm somebody who does take a lot of stuff on. And so I have to watch and I have to stop myself sometimes, say, why am I taking this on? Who is it benefiting? Why is it benefiting? How is it benefiting? To stop that happening. So I wonder if we can talk about that busyness and the distraction that it causes and preventing us from moving forward.
Yeah, ultimately, we have to remember that we are creating our life every day. We each have 24 hours with which to create our life. And it's not so much the hours in the day as it is the energy with which we are bringing to each activity that we're taking. And we really have to manage our energy. So what that means is when we are so busy and we're just giving our energy away to everything and everybody else, we may not be intentionally, and that's really the word to focus on is, am I intentionally creating my day the way I want it to be? Am I intentionally using my energy in a way that is the most effective? And if we're distracting ourselves, and I know so many of us struggle with going on email or going on social media, or we get distracted by one of our relationships and there's some drama in that relationship and we find ourselves on the phone for an hour and then just depleted at the end of it. You know, is that really serving you ultimately in what you want to create in this lifetime of yours? And if it isn't, you have the right to not do it and say no. And sometimes the saying no, just like you shared, we all struggle with that. Sometimes we have to say no to ourselves.
Right.
We have to say, no, I'm not taking another thing on. Yes, I could do that, but I'd really like to relax, or I really want to go do something fun, or whatever it is, so that you're intentionally creating your life the way that feels good to you and is fulfilling to you, and in return, you will be fulfilling and really contributing so much to other people.
Right. And another major factor that holds us back, discard limiting beliefs. You have a step called discard your limiting beliefs, because that is, again, something that can stem from childhood. You know, we're told that, for example, I was the creative one in some areas, but I wasn't in painting. So I always believed I was no good at art, which I'm really not, actually. But sometimes we're told stuff that, you know, we're not good at that, and we tend to carry it forward with us.
Yes, and it's important for us to really look at what our limiting beliefs are, because when we set out to do something, whether it's something that we've been doing and we want to take it to the next level, or it's something new that we want to create, our beliefs are the first place that we go to determine whether we can or can't do that. And so if we have beliefs in place that are in opposition to what we want to create, we want to look at those. And sometimes they are beliefs that have been passed on for generations from our family. And it's something that we might not even believe in, but we just adopted it somewhere along the way. Or maybe it is a belief that we picked up along the way because we interpreted something that happened, and then we believed, for example, how I was sharing earlier, I'm not good enough, and we have that belief in place. And so we really want to give ourselves the gift of exploring these beliefs so that we can make sure that every belief we have is aligned with what we want to create. And if it isn't, we can do very specific inner reflection and work to bring new beliefs into our consciousness.
Yeah, and this is one of my pet peeves. I'm too old. When people say I'm too old, what do you say to them when they say things like that?
That is a great one. I'm too old often is disguised for something else. And that may be I'm not good enough, I never get what I want, I don't have the ability to create what it is that I really desire. And so we want to just look underneath that I'm too old, because that's just sort of a summary of something we've decided. Mm-hmm. And it just isn't true.
Right.
It just isn't true. We know so many people in history that have created amazing contributions to our society at the age of 60 or 70. And it's fun. It's really fun to be able to contribute your gift to the world. So maybe the age of 60 was the perfect time and you needed all 60 of those years in order to gather everything that you needed and become the person you needed to be in order to bring that contribution to the world. And so the judgment, it's a judgment and a belief, I'm too old, is really not having faith in your reason for being here.
Right.
There's a reason that each and every one of us is here. And sometimes it takes us a while to figure out what exactly that is.
Right. You know, my philosophy is, hey, today is the youngest I'm ever going to be. So make the most of it.
I love that.
And so a final thought, Diane, that you'd like to share with listeners who might have been putting their dreams on hold. You know, they might want to make changes in their life and they've been putting them off.
Yes. So what I would like to share with everybody is whatever it is that you may be experiencing in your life, if it is a dream that you've been putting on the back burner, or if there's something more difficult going on, I want you to know that you don't have to muscle through the pain you're feeling or cover up what's truly going on. You can make a shift in your life. And if there is something you really want to create, the first thing you want to do is really keep that desire, that goal fresh. Have a daily and weekly plan to take just a tiny small step towards the accomplishment. And then the most important thing is to feel the energy of accomplishment each time you take an action, even if it's a very small one.
Right. Excellent. Great book. Great advice. The big thing I'm taking away from this is really focusing on not where I'm spending my time, but where I'm spending my energy. And is it rejuvenating me or is it depleting me?
Perfect. That is awesome.
So I thank you, Diane Altmaier, for being with us today. The book is called Clarity, 10 Proven Strategies to Transform Your Life, and a quick website where people can find out more about you and the work you're doing.
DianeAltmaier.com, and that's Diane with one N, and then Alto is A-L-T-O, Mar is M-A-R-E, and if you go there today, you can download Chapter 1 of Clarity for free and start reading it right away.
Awesome. So no excuses. No excuses.
No excuses. Go download Chapter 1.
I love it. Thank you, Diane Altmaier. Thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Vicky. It was a pleasure.
And please do stay tuned. We will be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
No, nothing looks the way it did before. I don't know where to look or what to look for. I feel like I just don't know you anymore. But I've been burned and I've been down so many times. We walk in circles, the blind leading the blind. We've been disconnected somehow.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals and Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
Let's see if I guess that... This just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you at the exact level you need, whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
On the Launchpad this week, Darren Marzoff of Porter's Pride Raw Diet will be sharing how we can improve the lives of our pets with natural foods. Also, we get a boost with Chef Dina's key ingredient. Delisle shares his latest life lesson. Jimmy Bacco inspires us with the quote of the week. And R. Hill reports events that are on the horizon. Have a blast every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on Alternative Talk 1150. Catch up with podcast on the Launchpad.club.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Do you have an expectation hangover where life doesn't quite match your expectations? Former Hollywood agent Christine Hassler has the cure. And psychotherapist, professor, and former Buddhist monk Donald Altman shares how to manage emotional dramas with his new book, Clearing Emotional Clutter. Tune in every Monday at noon Pacific Time right here on Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And catch up with podcasts at conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Radio with no added hormones or preservatives. All natural. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And I said at the top of the hour that according to a recent study, 50% of women would rather admit how much they weigh than discuss how much they make. So I think something's wrong with that picture myself. So I hope our next guest can answer some questions and provide some solutions for those who'd rather discuss their weight than how much they make. Nicole Lappin, she is one of my favorite financial experts. Her book, Rich Bitch, became an instant New York Times bestseller and is now available in paperback. And Nicole was scheduled to join us live today, but an unexpected emergency has her sitting on a plane as we talk right now. So here's our earlier recorded conversation. Let me tell you a little about Nicole. She's the only finance expert, and this is probably true, actually. She's one of the very few who actually writes in plain English when you read a financial book. She got her start in finance on the floors of Chicago Mercantile Exchange and the Chicago Board of Trade for First Business Network, And she then went on to become the youngest anchor ever at CNN and CNBC, where she anchored the only global finance show on the network, Worldwide Exchange. She also contributed reports to MSNBC and The Today Show. And she served as a business anchor and correspondent for Bloomberg Television. A new book, as I said, is called Rich Bitch. Nicole Lapin, welcome.
Vicky, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. So I read that you did not grow up reading the Wall Street Journal at your breakfast table at home. Your family were immigrants. They believed the best place to keep your money was under the mattress. So how did you become interested in finance?
You know, sometimes you're drawn to the things that totally stump you. That's what happened to me. I was totally, totally clueless, Vicky. I used to break out into hives looking at the Wall Street Journal, or the pink hue of the Financial Times made me want to vomit. I had a boyfriend in high school who said he wanted to be a hedge fund manager, and Vicky, I kid you not, I thought he wanted to be in gardening. I was so beyond clueless. I'm the least likely person to be a finance expert. And for me, it was just about learning the language of money, because really, it's a language like anything else. And we can't be mad at ourselves. We didn't learn this stuff in school. I certainly didn't. And I didn't talk about it growing up. And my former self used to smile and nod during money conversations, too scared, too intimidated to actually ask questions and join the conversation, until I was thrown, as you mentioned in the fabulous intro, onto the floor of the stock exchange in Chicago. And I had to learn this language, and really quickly, because I had to speak it to the world. So once I started hearing all of the stocks and bonds and stuff, and I sounded like Chinese. And finally, I could speak the language, and not only that, I then spoke it to the world, and I realized, you know what? This isn't that complicated. Once you learn the language, it actually didn't feel as scary as it once did. And so that was my mission, to teach my former self, that girl who was totally clueless and smiling and nodding, how to speak this language.
Well, let's talk about that smiling and nodding, because you dedicate the book, you say, to my former self who has finally stopped smiling and nodding.
Yeah.
That's the first part of the dedication. So let's talk about that first of all. Something that many women are raised, I was having this conversation with my brother yesterday. You know, many women are taught just to smile and nod.
Yeah. You know, the world of money and the concepts and the language has really felt closed off to women. You know, I was there. We smile and nod. Rich Bitch, for me, was really important to write as the unofficial guide to telling women how to get the life you want by getting your money in order. Now, in the book, I talk about the idea that we as women will talk about everything, from different sexcapades and more graphic things, our weight, before we talk about money. Yet everything relates to money. Every story goes back to money. I can tell you that, being a news anchor for over a decade. We are the CEO of our own empire. If you're working, if you're living, if you're paying bills, if you're shopping, you are in the finance department. So you might as well start treating yourself that way and join the conversation.
Right. The other part of the dedication in the book, and I want to talk about that, is and for all my rich bitches, the women who understand that you don't have to be either to be both. Because I think we do... some of us have this perception that, the money is the root of all evil, and we have to change that thinking.
Oh, absolutely. So for me, a rich bitch is not about deprivation. I actually argue for your morning latte. You can buy your morning latte and still reach your money goals. Yes, it is possible. But being a rich bitch is a good thing. It's not about having more money than you know what to do with necessarily. It's about living a rich, full life in all aspects of the word rich. And it's someone who's confident enough to join the language, to speak the language, to join conversations, to get her financial part of her life in order to live the life she wants. Because in order to live the life you want, whatever that is, you need money for that.
Right.
You need money to live the life you want. So it's about changing your mindset from a place of deprivation, which I think a lot of financial experts, so to speak, will tell you, like, don't buy the latte.
I know. And
you feel so starved and so deprived, you end up binging on something else later on.
That's so true. And that's another reason I liked your book, was because you don't go that route. You don't say, hey, give up that latte. Because, you know, when I was a kid... my grandmother had this saying, take care of the pennies and the pounds, because I was raised in England, and the pounds will take take care of themselves. You don't necessarily have that philosophy. You talk about the big things. So share your philosophy on that, if you would.
Yeah, you know, it's about changing your mindset to, you know, that place of aspiration. It's not about a budget. It's a spending plan. In the same way as if you're trying to lose weight, you don't want to think about being on a diet. You want to think about an eating plan. And it's just a slight little tweak, but it changes your mindset about it. So it's not about, you know, a crazy master cleanse or a grapefruit diet or something ridiculous, if we're doing the analogy of a diet. It's, you know, something that you allow yourself small indulgences, like a Hershey's Kiss, so you don't end up binging on a big old hunk of chocolate cake in the middle of the night later on.
Right.
So the same thing goes for a financial spending plan, you know, in the equivalent of an eating plan. If you allow yourself a morning latte, or whatever does it for you. For me, it's the morning latte. I can't live without it. I don't care what any financial expert tells me. I need my morning latte. And so I said, gosh, there has to be, you know, a rationale for this. And the rationale is that you keep yourself on track, you put a pep in your step, you get yourself to work earlier, you think of yourself as someone who has billable hours, like an attorney, even if you're making minimum wage, and you realize your time is money. For me, fussing with a filter for 30 minutes, even if I was making, you know, a certain number an hour, much less than an attorney, that time is valuable. And the only thing you can't get back in this world, Vicki, is time, and you can't pay for that either.
I am so with you on that. My friends hear me say all that all the time. They're like, well, you could have got that, you know, 50 cents cheaper. And I'm like, you know, time is money.
Right. Time is money. And my mission is that you don't lose any of either and take control of both.
Right. This was an interesting statistic. You recently conducted a study in partnership with Nielsen and found that more than 67% of all U.S. adult women would rather admit their weight than how much money they make.
Yes, it's true. You know, women want to feel financially independent. I know we do, and we are smart. So that's why I never talk down to anybody, because that's silly. But we need to demystify, you know, finance with each other. We need to start talking about it. For me, it was important. Within Rich Bitch, I admit my salary, because I said, you know, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. Let's start talking about this stuff so we can help each other. In the intro, you said that I was, you know, the youngest anchor at CNN, which I was, and I was so grateful to be there for 4 years in Atlanta. But the place we talked about personal finance topics was actually in the makeup room, you know, between women.
Right.
Like, hush, hush. Oh, you know, tell me, like, the latest about how to negotiate for your bills, or, you know, what's the deal with the, you know, the Roth IRA versus the regular IRA. And it's like, what is this business? Like, let's talk about it openly and honestly, because it will float all boats. We'll help each other, whether it's negotiating for your salary so we know what we're making. There's no embarrassment. There's no, you know, fear of it. And then, you know, also helping each other with tricks of the money trade, because we're really all in it together.
Yeah. And you're so right about understanding the language, because once you, you know, I worked in the financial industry for many years, and once you understand the language, it's very simple. It's like you can't cook a brand new recipe if you don't know what the ingredients are in there.
Totally.
So let's talk about goals, because you say in the book, I love these breakouts in the book. You have confessions of a rich bitch. You give bottom lines. You talk about tips as well. And you say friends don't let friends live without tangible goals. I think, you know, as women, I know this from when I was in the financial industry, they often will leave it to a partner and not get involved. And then once that relationship ends, they're left stumped. So let's talk about why it's important to have those goals.
Oh, and that's, by the way, the most important time. You know, that's the time that women actually do want to get their financial lives together, but at that point it's too late. So you don't need a man. You don't need a silver spoon in your mouth. You don't need the right schooling in order to live the life you want, in order to be a rich bitch, which is a good thing. You know, I also wrote a Rich Bitch Guide to Love and Money, which is a free ebook right now, not as a shameless plug, but just going off of what you were saying, that, you know, women in relationships, there's so much crazy overlap, and it's the number one cause of divorce. So it's actually, you know, one of the topics I say to women: don't wait until that time when either your husband dies. You know, I know it sounds morbid, but that's actually the time when women like the light bulb goes off. So right. I think it's about coming up with your goals for yourself. So whether you're married or whether you're getting married, you never know what's going to happen. Whether he's the guy, great. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So it's about really coming up with your goals for yourself in all aspects of your life. And it's not just career. It's about family. It's about what you want to do for fun. And then realizing that goals have price tags.
Right.
You know, in Rich Bitch, I say that there is a study that shows that women who come up with a cohesive narrative for themselves are more likely to be successful. And it's about coming up with a plan, but then realizing that you're going to need to change that plan as life happens. And I've done that many, many times to my goal sheets in the family aspect of my life, in the career aspect of my life. But having that all written down has given me laser focus, and it didn't make me feel as anxious about it, because it's the little booger of the question. I think you've probably been there, that people ask you, you know, what do you want to do? What do you
right.
want to do in 5 years?
Right.
What
right.
do you want to be when you grow
right.
up? And I'm like, I don't want to grow up, but that's a whole other topic. You know, and it was, it's not that I didn't want to do things. I wanted to do so many things. I had so much ambition. But that little question, it would always give me, my hands would sweat, my armpits would sweat, the whole thing. And I didn't actually answer the question for myself. So once you answer the question, once you create a narrative for the life you want to live, it's much easier to then go get the money to live that life.
Yeah. And that spending plan, I don't like being on a budget. I'll confess, I don't. But it's so important.
Okay, budgeting sucks.
Yeah, it does. It sucks.
But it's being broke.
But if you want to get somewhere and want to accomplish something, it's important, right?
And yes, and it's really about, yes, budgeting sucks. I'm the first person to admit it. Being broke sucks more. So I think that, first coming out with a spending plan, I break that down to the three E's because I like alliteration. I like steps. It makes it easier. I also like F words. my goals are broken down by the three F's. So there you go. The only four-letter word I don't like is debt, by the way. But really it's about coming up with, a semblance of a plan for yourself so you can stay on track that allows for small indulgences in your spending plan that's equivalent to the eating plan. I call it the LBD, the little budget diary, the real LBD that never goes out of style. And then, taking this as seriously as you would other things. Studies have shown that people spend way more time researching a vacation than researching your retirement. That's crazy talk.
Right.
This is your life. So it's really about setting the foundation for living the life you want. And so start thinking about the awesome things you're going to get from this money, and realizing too that you're coming from a place of aspiration, that if you make more money, hello, Captain Obvious, you don't need to save as much money and feel so deprived and like you're clipping coupons and saving, 50 cents that your friend was telling you about. That's bollocks.
Right.
I guess
right.
we can say that now on the air in the U.S. But, I think, all kidding aside, it's really, looking to make more money. And so you don't have to keep on clip and dig in the couch and try to find extra change.
So let's talk about putting limits on certain things, because, when we're putting a spending plan together, we should have no more than X amount to spend on housing, because otherwise it doesn't leave enough for us. And you say housing, we shouldn't spend more than 35% of our income. Essentials, 70%. So talk to us a little about that and why that's important.
Yeah, so the essentials would be, so the three E's would be essentials, 70% of your gross monthly income, 15% going to the end game, which is savings and retirement, and then 15% going to the extras. So the latte, the mani-pedi, the whatever does it for you. I won't tell you how to have fun. And then of that 70% for essentials, half of that, which is 35% of the entire shebang, would be housing. So this depends where you live, of course,
right.
and there's wiggle room. And, I'm in Manhattan right now, so I'm going to have more on my housing but less on my transportation, because I'm going to be taking public transportation. So it's a framework, but it's really about having no one-size-fits-all. It's all about what works for you and using that as a guideline.
Yeah, and I do think it's important to look at that as a big picture item there, because that's when I've seen people. Well, that's when we had all this housing crisis, when people were,
oh, yeah.
way up on their mortgages. Let's talk about something else that's been controversial for many, many, many years. And I was wondering if you'd say this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll let you tell. I read it. Should I lease a car? Should I lease a car?
No. Are you kidding me? No way. Vicky, yeah, I'm going to come find you if you do.
No, I never. My car's 20 years old. Come on, give me a break.
Oh, good.
It's a classic.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. Cars are my... this is the thing. You know, just step back for a second and just start rethinking conventional financial wisdom. Start thinking for yourself. So when you hear, you know, it's ingrained in your head, buy a house, don't buy a latte. Think for yourself. Maybe rent a house and buy a latte. Yes, that can work for the finance gods. As far as leasing goes, it's the biggest scam in the history of the planet. You know, who are you kidding yourself?
Right.
It's buying a used car at a new car price, and then you have to give the thing back. Like, that makes no financial sense to me. The better option is to buy used cars cheap, run them to the ground 20 years later, and then sell the jalopy later on.
Yeah. So I'm doing the right
thing. Because they depreciate the most after 4 years. Yes, you're doing the right thing.
They do. Well, the second you drive a new car off the lot, it's lost a big percentage of its value.
Yes, and the most after 4 years. So 70% of its value goes out the window after 4 years. So if you buy a car after that massive depreciation period is over, you're good.
Yeah. So if people heard nothing else today, and the book is full of great tips that we, just some really common sense tips, but you tell it like it is, which I like, and you have a great sense of humor about it, and yes, you do like those F words now and then. But if people heard nothing else, what do you want them to take away from this, Nicole?
I think that it's really important for folks to realize that personal finance only becomes very interesting when you understand directly how it links to your life goals. And it's not over your head. It's not over any of our heads. You don't need to be a mathematician. You don't need to, you know, be an expert to live the life you want. And so it's really more than just numbers and math and all of that stuff. It really begins with setting your goals and learning how to ask yourself what you really want. And you don't have to be rich to make managing your money a priority.
Excellent. And you mentioned an ebook. Can you tell listeners very quickly where they can find that?
Oh, sure. You can find it on Amazon or you can find it on my website, NicoleLappin.com. It is free. It's my favorite price.
Excellent. You can't argue with that price, right?
That's right.
The name of the book is Rich Bitch, a simple 12-step plan for getting your financial life together. Finally, you can tell from Nicole's energy that she's really passionate about this book and it's really well put together.
Thank you. Oh, we just hit the New York Times bestseller list.
Oh, awesome. Yay. I'm so pleased for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you can, of course, find out more about Nicole Lappin at Lappin. It's Lappin, right?
Lappin making it happen, sister.
Okay. All right. I've been saying it wrong because they only had one P.
That's
I
okay.
thought it was Lappin. Okay. NicoleLappin.com. Thank you. Thank you, Nicole, for being
thank
with
you,
us.
Thank you, Vicky. Thank you so much.
And welcome back. As I said, Nicole was going to join us live, but she had an emergency and is on a plane as we were hearing that. So if you have any questions about today's guests, you can call me at email me at info@conversationslive.net or call me at 800-495-7617. Both of my guests' books, Nicole's came out in paperback last week, March 8th. Rich Bitch, and my first guest, Diane Altmaier, her book came out also last week, March 8th, Clarity, 10 Proven Strategies to Transform Your Life. And you can give me a call if you have any questions or feedback on today's show. I know sometimes people didn't quite catch the title of the book because they came in halfway through or didn't quite catch the guest's name for the same reason. So 800-495-7617. You can also find us on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair and on Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And I just want to give a quick shout out to all of the volunteers who put that dog show on in Seattle this last weekend. It was really great. I had so much fun. And I can just only imagine the amount of work that went into putting that dog show together. But what an awesome job they did. So if you missed it this year, look out for it next year. It's the Kennel Club, Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show. All right, that brings us to the end of our show. So I will be back next week with all new guests, all new subjects, all new questions. Until then, live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.